Afternoon, everyone. Patrick Fitzgerald is my name. I've just finished one presentation. I've been thrown into another, and I guess you're all waiting to get to the bar, even if bar is a socially distanced kitchen or something like that. I'm here to talk about Firebird, which is something I discovered many years ago. And it's something that I discovered just as you do, just wandering around your local hard disk and discover it's installed on this machine that should be running Linux and very controlled environment. And what's it doing there? Well, it turns out it says it's probably already installed. Actually, I'm running Tumbleweed and it's definitely not installed. And I called Doug and said, I've got a problem. It's been removed from the repo, but it's still in Leap. So it might have already been installed. There might be a LibreOffice update removing it. I'm not sure, but it's a great database. But what can you do with it? And why do you care? So very briefly, we're going to go into what a database is. What's in a base, which is actually its predecessor, which is not predecessor so much as the original source code that was open sourced. And why is it so good? And why we use it, or why we did use it, and why it's a good tool to have in the toolbox. So I'm Patrick Fitzgerald, as I said. I've been a programmer forever. I've spent 8 years working in film and television. In the meantime, whilst I was doing that, because there's lots of spare time if you're working in television and film, in Australia at least, which is where I'm from, I did a whole lot of programming, and a friend of mine said I was creative in all directions. I'm not sure what that means, if it was an insult or a compliment. I'm still trying to work that out. But you know, been into Linux for at least 20 years now, and built an open source cloud and in 2010, still running in a number of data centers in London and Zurich for large financial customers. But I'd get shot if I told you who they were. I've been in London for a long time, but now I'm a Brexit refugee and currently residing in Germany and loving it. And I'm a survivor of many things, including a cardiac arrest 2 years ago at this very conference. So enough about me. What do you think about me? Only joking. So let's just go back to that slide because I've just gone a little too far. So what's Interbase? Now, I came across it when I was running a company called Oceanware Digital, which is a client service company. So they're working on people's systems. And we had to write a system to track engineer work time. And at that point, I knew a lot about Pascal and Object Pascal. So Delphi was the tool of choice. And it came with something called Interbase. And I looked up, I read up about it, and it seemed to be, well, that's it's got a long history. It's solid. It's dependable. It's got all the things you want in an enterprise database. But it's got a 3 meg binary. And the download is 8 meg. It's almost too good to be true. It's true multi-architecture. It runs on everything, including Android. Of course, the big thing was it was free with Delphi Enterprise. So that's what we went for. It's got a surprising history. It was one of the early embedded databases, and the theory is, or the rumor is, that it was originally developed for targeting systems of the M1 tank. Whether or not that's true, but one of the things that they had to assure the Department of Defense of is that regardless of what happened, if the system went down, it'll come straight back up with no corruption. And based on that initial requirement is kind of where a whole lot of the different design decisions were made, and so forth, and therefore it's highly reliable. It's compact as well. it sits, the database sits in a single file, and is accessed by a connection string, which you'll see shortly. The high reliability is interesting because it meant that, it's not that we certainly weren't building systems for the N1 tank or any tank for that matter, but we were doing early experiments with iSCSI and other network things and NFS and sharing stuff and doing all sorts of interesting things, especially when we started building the cloud environment. And we found that if there was some sort of interruption to the network flow, for example, for the virtual machine that's being shared across an NFS share, things like MySQL. MySQL was pretty bad. It would have to do a massive recovery on it. On the same infrastructure, same system running on a Windows system, with Firebird as the database system, we never and still never have, touch wood, had a corruption of the database, and it was being used very, very actively for our system. So what's Firebird? Well, there's what they call the year 2000 incident, which was they're planning to take it public, and they're going to open source the code, and it was all, you know, Linux was just coming on stream and is becoming more and more popular. Lots of internet pack companies were being funded, and then suddenly the bubble burst and a whole lot of companies lost a lot of money. And of course, year 2000 was happening right then, which was something that a lot of money had been poured into companies to make sure that the year 2000, their systems would not, for example, end up resetting back to zero because they've got a two-digit date field for when it comes to the year. So, and that was a massive problem. And what's funny is when people talk about it, there's lots of people who don't know that that was a big issue, and it was. Enterprise was the company, which is owned by Borland, I think, and they're gonna take it public, and they briefly open sourced it before all this stuff in the year 2000 happened, which meant that they just realized it wasn't a good time to open source to go public. So they pulled the floating of the business, and they realized the open source code was out there already on the internet. So they closed it off, but someone had already grabbed it with the open source license, and they started building Firebird from the original source. And a lot of the original developers, I think, from Interbase is the corporation that built it, they joined, and they're still part of the team that's making it. So what is it good at? Anything that doesn't need, this memory restricted, anything, any system that you need to have a maintenance-free database or data store. So that could be data collection systems running in Raspberry Pis or smaller devices. That are unattended and sitting in someone's roof or something like that, just getting information and then pumping up to the internet. Multi-user systems that just Postgres or MySQL or MSQL is complete overkill. Multi-user systems is not really where SQL light shines. A lot of people, I'm sure that I'm making a lot of people very irritated by saying that, but it's not really it. When it writes to the database file, it does a block, so you can't actually have multiple records being written at the same time by different service or processes. And because of the way it writes the file, If you're in a situation where you've got unpredictable power or unpredictable system or something like that, it's like I said, you know, we've used this system for almost 20 years in various infrastructural environments with various problems, and we've never had a corruption. Very good for something like a kiosk, which is probably better suited by SQL for SQLite. But it also means if you're doing something in Firebird, you can scale. You can scale it. You can have multiple connections, multiple client systems talking to the same database, and therefore establish the so-called single source of the truth. That's a big thing for us, not having multiple databases saying multiple different things about customers or their systems, or we put it all in one database and everything links into that. And of course, an embedded and an edge device's size does matter. And unfortunately, I can't scale this slide properly, but it's not because of my lack of ability, but it's because the different size between SQLite, Firebird, and MySQL or MariaDB is so dramatic that it's unbelievable. I was actually completely surprised when I was doing the preparation for this slide, because I didn't realize A, Firebird was still that small, and that B, MySQL is that large. I will do a brief demonstration on Django. And even the RPM for Django is about 10 meg. So if you're doing something and building something that will talk to lightweight systems, the client access system, if it's something like Django, you're talking about 10 meg download, and the database is going to be a lot more than that. 80 times larger, which is kind of silly. And the thing is about code, the more lines of code there are, there's a greater opportunity for failure, or greater opportunity for errors. And one of the best things about Firebird is it's version 4 has just been released. And they keep on gradually introducing different features, but the code is rock solid, and you're not going to have some sort of failure because of someone has just introduced something to the code. So our use case was and still is iLayer's job tracking system. It was originally started with the previous company, which was called Oceanware Digital. As I said, designed around 1998, and Delphi and Interbase were used. We did two clients, and one of them was a web-based system for the client, for the engineers to use when they're on client sites. Because of course, back then, being showing my age, but back then it was all the rage for companies to start installing the internet and getting access and giving people the ability to browse the very few websites that were available. But even then, it was booming. And the basis of that was we would have engineers would be online anyway. So we decided instead of making it a thick client or a fat client that would be installed on machines in each client site, we just thought, let's make it a web page, and that's what we did. And there's one other client. There are a couple of other clients developed as well. But one of the most important one was a desktop Windows client written in Delphi as well, that injected, would take all the invoices and all the time that's tracked with would tracking time on a much like a legal company does. So you start talking to your lawyer, he's going to click a click a button or I think before start a stopwatch, you know, take the time and charge it in 6 minute increments. We thought that was a good idea. Customers didn't necessarily, but there you go. And so that would get injected into the system via the web page, and then we'd do all sorts of things, like operations on that data, depending on how many, what client had what contract, what the discount level was, and it all gets sorted out at the end of every work job, the work requested, we call it, as we called it. And it'll come up to the end of the month, and it'll come up with an accurate invoice. But we kept on adding more and more stuff to it, but it became unmanageable. That's kind of just the database, the data segments of the code. There's nothing. There are no modules on that that refer to actual procedural work. They're just the database queries calling different functions inside the database, and it became impossible to manage. And it just got too complex, and that's just a small segment of the schema of the database. And we just had to come up with something that was more manageable than that single customer, the single CGI program. and also the CGI program was getting a bit dated, and we're moving to Linux, and we wanted to have all the flexibility of Linux on the web server and get away from IIS. But the questions that we sort of really had to ask is, do we have the time and budget to build a whole new database? And of course the answer to that is no, as well as the migrating the data and all the other things that go, because the database is not just about data. I think I might be still coming up to that slide actually. What do we have? Can we migrate all that stuff? Well, of course we can, but really it's time. Can we do it? And can we do it without interrupting the monthly accounting and billing process? And of course, probably not. And you want to take the risk as a small business. And I certainly didn't, because I was become the CEO of ILO. We figured there might be a way, instead of migrating everything to a different database, maybe we can use the existing database and do a different front end on it. So we came up with something called, we didn't come up with it. A lot of other talented people came up with Django, which is a Python-based web framework, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of. A lot of people may not have heard of something called InspectDB. And we'll show you shortly what happens with when you run that. This is the new version, which we renamed Wave Suite in honor of the previous company, Ocean Wave Digital. And we built it on Django. We retained the Firebird database backend. We didn't really make very many changes. We built an Active Directory authentication, so then we didn't have to deal with multiple usernames in multiple systems. And that was a real bonus. And then we were able to link it because of the flexibility of all the Python applications and libraries that are available. We started linking into different things like PBX and Jabber and building presence in. So in the web page you see here, you actually can't see the presence stuff, but down the left-hand side, you'll see team status and all sorts of things we're using. IBM Director is a monitoring tool. We did this and it opened up our ability to do it. The other thing, once again, is it retained the single source of truth, which is very important in data management. So, I did that. And then How do you use it? Well, as I said earlier, the problem with doing this presentation was that I was halfway through preparing it and I realized that my local system doesn't have it anymore because I'd switched to Tumbleweed from Leap. And I'm not sure what's going on. I think Firebird might need some help to package their binaries into Tumbleweed. So anyone wants to stick their hand up and do that, that would be fantastic. So if what we can do is we'll show you, you know, how we take the default database that is called employees as a demo database and turn it into a webified system using Django, which of course, you know, it then approves how this works, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it's a live demo. We'll see something that we will see shortly. Right, so let's see what. Let's kill that. So I just have to get all the other systems out of the way. There's all sorts of okay. Here we go. So there's all sorts of systems that you can use to interrogate a Firebird database. And one of them is the WaveSuite system itself, and we're using Flame Robin, which is one of the things. This is a open source system. There's also, seems to be having problems connecting. Let's try something else. There are commercial packages. There's loads and loads of third-party customer-based things and admin-based tools. Let's see if this works. No, okay. Can't show you that, but we can show you the original enterprise sample database. I'm not sure if I can make that larger. Make it larger and make it useful. No. So there was a missing slide, which is like what a database is, and what a database is that a lot of people don't see and don't realize because there's lots of complexity that's hidden by the fantastic front ends that you get. But you can do things like you can define exceptions. So you can say if something is done, then run this code, whatever it is. And can we just close that? Functions, you can have functions in there. You can have generators, which are basically things that generate a unique ID, for example. Procedures, so all these can get called and actually can return their results as part of the query that you make. So they get mixed into the tables. There's, you know, a bunch of system tables that keep track of things. Procedures, and these are the 10 tables that this sample database has. And these are all linked together via various joins and what they call primary keys and they're linked via these key characters. Let's see if we can look at that. It's probably not, I can't make it any larger, but you get the idea. It's a lot of complexity that's built into any kind of database. And I guess the point of this is that it's you can get all the information out in a consistent and reliable way, and that's one of the great things about using a database, that it does it, you can rely on the fact that once the data gets committed, you can get it back in the same way and then link it into different ways to different information and see the information in a completely different light. So that's that all there. I've already installed Django, already installed the database driver. And there's something called, which I just ran that program. Let's see, there's a whole lot of errors there. Let's try and get another one. Another window. No. Okay, so there is something called InspectDB. Now, the thing is that I'll do something out of order here. So InspectDB is something that literally, having given it, so this is the Django settings file. Django settings file, you give it the database name, the path, which is the connection string, the host name, which is also part of the connection string. You'll see that down there, the username, host, and where the database lives. Now you put that into Django and you fire it up, and it blows up if you try and do anything with it, because it doesn't know the database. All you've done is given it a username and a password and an address, and Django goes away and goes, I don't understand any of this, and besides, you're not fulfilling my requirements of having my set of user tables and the stuff that I need in that database. So to do that, there's a simple command called migrate. And once you've migrated, it creates all these different tables and different sessions and tables and things like that. And then you end up with this version as opposed to this version. So it's made some changes. The most obvious one is in the tables. So here we've got 10 tables. But after you run the migrate, those 10 tables turn into 20 tables. And those 20 tables have got authentication things and permissioning and different group things, Django login log service, something called migrations, where you can actually migrate. You can add changes to tables and migrate them, and then they become part of the whole database, etc. So it adds another 10 tables. So having done that, having now you've seen that, I've created, I've done migrate and it's created those 10 tables extra, but it still doesn't know about anything else. So the way to find out, give it the information as to what that is, and this is also so you can use it within your system and make modifications to it. So InspectDB goes into the database and comes back with a whole lot of garbage, but it's actually not garbage. It's the Django and the Python models for every single table is discovered. And you can put that into your database as a model.py, and you can modify it. You can do things like give different have different things show up instead of it being proj.det budget, for example. There, you can turn it into something that's like project apartment budget and things like that, so it displays properly on the screen. And having, I don't even think you need to do that actually, but having, just run through the run server command. Hopefully this isn't going to blow up. And we get a little bit of a warning that something is not quite right. Before you ran the migrate, it'll come up with an error saying there's a whole bunch of things that you need to add in order to be able to connect. And now we get to that. So we now have got a system that is running off that database we've just shown. So let's get that right. Great. Okay, this is where I... Okay, there's probably something in the back end that I didn't do because I was working on this literally until about an hour and a half ago. But you will get, if you've ever had Django, use Django, maybe that'll do it. This shouldn't work, but I might. No. All right. But essentially, you'll get something that looks very much like he said. No. And unfortunately, the demo has only gone so far, but it's. No, I don't have network connectivity to that site, but you come up. Yeah, that's what you get. So you'll come up with an admin field, and you can change any data and anything. And that's the where you get started with Django, is using the admin tool, and then you start writing your code. But in terms of doing something lightweight, I mean, Django is lightweight enough, even though it doesn't seem like it sometimes. And it makes a perfect match in certain circumstances with Firebird. It's compact, it's lightweight, it's solid as a rock. It just keeps on running where other things don't. And you don't need to look after it. There's nothing to look after. It just sits there and runs. You don't have to do anything to make sure things that were working, continue working and all that kind of stuff. It just sits there and in the background it does what it says it's going to do. And that's kind of it. I'm going to move the pointer up here, go here. And that's how I ended up making that wave suite. And so just in summary, Firebird integration with LibreOffice, well, it was a good thing. I'm not sure what the future of it is, because they had some problems with the client side code, which probably, if anyone's interested, they should take a look at doing that, helping out there. So it may or may not be already on your machine. If you've got LibreOffice and you're 15.2, I'm not sure about 15.3 and for Leap, it might still be there. But the most important thing really is it's fast, it's fully featured. It's a very small footprint. It handles multi users very well. And it's very lightweight on memory as well. So, and I guess the key takeaway is if someone is saying to you or something, you're deciding that you need a database to do something, or someone's telling you, I want to do this, take a look at the use case, take a look at what really is needed, take a look at the way that, you know, the size of the staff, the IT staff, and see, you know, do they have a DB admin person there to do the work, which you kind of do need if you're running anything larger than SQLite or Firebird. And so keep an open mind. It could be, you know, the usual choice could be the wrong choice for the use case. And I'll upload all this code and up to that link, and there's a couple of pages there for you know, more to find out more information. And I think I'm kind of done. Thank you. Right on.